John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show on CBS Audio Network, and I welcome my longtime colleague and friend, Michael Vlahos. He teaches history at Johns Hopkins, and we enter again into a time tunnel in which Michael and I, our Christian names in the 21st century, become, now and again, Caius and Germanicus, two equestrian class living in Londinium, 90 AD, drinking a cup of wine by the Thames River, reflecting upon how we got here. We're not working. We're not working class. We have people working for us. How we got here, the empire, with Domitian the emperor, semi-divine emperor, and the Roman peace across Europe, across Britain, across the Mediterranean. How did we get so lucky? And by the way, why did they ever miss the Republic? What good was it? A lot of people arguing all the time and causing civil war, civil strife. Michael and I take this role because we reflect upon a question that is unanswerable, our opinion. Is there now a civil war? Are we in a civil war in the United States of America, the Republic? Are we in a transformation to what could be the next step, which would be an empire? Red and blue, urban and rural, nationalist and globalist, Democrat and Republican, are we now in a civil war? Setting that question we can't answer aside, we enter into versions of the civil war because the Romans invented civil war. The Greeks didn't have this concept. The Romans did. And since then, 2,000 years of philosophers and historians have reflected upon the events prior to Caesar's murder and after Caesar's murder. I know it begins in the 2nd century BCE with the Gracchi, but we're coming to a period after Caesar's death in which Brutus and Cassius and their colleagues, their conspirators, flee, and they're pursued or challenged by a triumvirate. There had been the first triumvirate. That was Caesar, Pompey, and Crassus. That broke up. Caesar took the lead by driving Pompey to death. Crassus was already dead. And Caesar, on the day that he was murdered in 44 BCE, was seen as a dictator, would-be king. That is why Brutus and Cassius claim they murdered him. Well, Brutus and Cassius did a wonderful job of murdering in front of the Senate, but they forgot to get the money. Mark Antony got the money. Octavian was the relative, the adopted son of Caesar, and who was a natural successor. The Romans like adopted sons to be successors of leaders. But Antony has the money. Octavian, the youth, 19 years old, has the claim. And they needed one more, Lepidus, a general. That was the second triumvirate. So, Michael, I introduce us to the possibility that we're living in a time of the second triumvirate. Michael Germanicus. With an emperor, a distant emperor, Tiberius living in Capri, or just not on the scene. And the second triumvirate was an alliance to track down and destroy the murderers of Caesar, Brutus and Cassius. But at the same time, the second triumvirate distrusted itself. Octavian didn't like Antony. Antony certainly didn't like Octavian, and both discounted Lepidus. That describes a scene that I can imagine today, Michael. The Democrats are all powerful. They don't much need the Republicans. They're dismissed. But the Democrats, in alliance, are maneuvering for power. I need your help here, Michael, because I can't see clearly. This maneuver, does it vouchsafe the results of 2020? Does it vouchsafe the results of 2024 as we transform a republic into an empire? Good evening, Michael.
Good evening, John. The big question that I'm sure listeners voice when they are following our conversations about Rome is, what is the value of going back 2,000 years to ancient times? So, you know, so far away in space and, of course, in time. And the value, it seems to me, is that Rome is not only a model to us, so it's resonant whether we wish it to be or not. It's always in the back of our minds culturally. We talked about that very recently. But also, in some ways, it's the only framework, I believe, that can explain the kind of potential transformation that the United States is undergoing. And we all know that Rome experienced a transformation political, but also cultural and strategic. And that transformation was from a republic, a city, a civically inspired phenomena, to a world empire, at least world in the sense that Greeks and Romans understood world. And that transformation is potentially what the U.S. has been undergoing over the last several decades. Of course, it was begun by World War II, which set us on the same course as Rome was put on after the Carthaginian Wars and then the Macedonian Wars, et cetera, et cetera. But the most worrisome possibility is that the unraveling of any sort of a balanced constitutional republic is what we're now facing, and that we're very much deep into the transformation from republic to empire. And we have to remember, since you brought up the Second Triumvirate, that the time of the Second Triumvirate was an absolutely suspended period between republic and empire. Rome wasn't an empire yet, and it certainly wasn't a working republic. The constitution had literally fallen apart. And the question is, what do we really see when you go from republic to empire? And the main components that we saw in Rome was, first of all, that the voice of the people engaged through the constitution in being part of the deliberative process over who would be the leaders in Rome, the senators as well as the consuls, that was gone, and people were reduced to a kind of acclamatory role where they could acclaim leaders, and their choice was somewhat existential. They either had to acclaim a leader and choose a leader and follow him, or they had to try and choose another one that would stop that first leader. And that isn't really electoral participation as we know it, and that's what we're seeing in the U.S. today. Second, politics, which had been very intimate and local in Rome and had been in the United States since the founding of the Republic, have gone national. And in America, a nation of 330 million people, national means imperial, at least in the sense of the U.S. being a gigantic realm or world all of its own. And the irony of all of this is that as the U.S. gets bigger and hugely gigantic in real terms from the standpoint of individuals participating in a political system, as people become more and more lost and removed from politics, the actual power centers and the people who are engaged in not just making decisions, but acting powerfully and seizing power, those people at the top are fewer in number. And the relationship of the power centers in this radically transfigured America between the power centers and the people is much like that of Rome 2,000 years ago, in that people are increasingly dependent on a smaller and smaller circle of what you might call big men. And, of course, they're not necessarily individual actors, but they are the kind of groups that have the capacity to move the nation and push it in one direction or another. And this is finally topped off by one of the most sobering and incontrovertible developments of the last 50 or 60 years, and that is that America entangled deeply in the affairs of the rest of humankind became a de facto the world ruler, at least the world adjudicator. And what's happened is over the decades, the patterns of running the world have come home to America. What we've seen is the emergence of an American military just in the last few weeks that is necessary to legitimate a new regime, because effectively the American military has acted to not merely defend the regime personally, but also to legitimate it and to take the political agendas of the incoming administration and make them part of its own identity, going through a process of a political conversion. And second, citizens are now in America living in a much reduced status. And we see this by looking at the plight of deplorables and many groups in America that have been stripped of their middle-class status, and juxtaposed with them are the great numbers of barbarians, as the Romans would have put it, trying to cross into our borders.
Right.
And essentially, it's a third-worldization of America, which is very much what happened to the citizens of Rome after the empire essentially downgraded them. And finally, you have elites have bought off on the actual granular model of running things. In other words, the way the U.S. has used, for example, drones in assassinations as normal practice, the way they surveil everybody, and finally the emergence of a kind of worldwide secret police, all of those instruments are now omnipresent in American society. In other words, the elite likes to be in total control,
Michael,
of the people of the United States.
I want to return to the second triumvirate when we come back, because I want to suggest some names or types who suit the purposes of this civil war after Caesar, or this civil war after the Republic is no longer useful. Michael Vlahos of Johns Hopkins, we're entertaining a question we can't answer. Are we now in a civil war? We don't know. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show on CBS Audio Network.